Those were some clips from programs we've broadcast this year about the attacks on organized labor in the U.S., the initiative in Ohio which would protect unions' power to collectively bargain passed in November. Many speculate that Ohio vote could be a reaffirmation of union strength and could signal the beginning of a backlash against attempts to erode workers' rights. Joining me now to look back at 2011 and take stock of the labor movement is Pedro de Sá. He's a member of ILWU Local 6. He's also a member of the Rank and File Organizing Committee in the San Francisco Bay Area for that union. Pedro, welcome to Making Contact.
Thank you.
So looking back at 2011, we saw some of the most brazen and, in the case of Wisconsin, some of the most effective attacks on organized labor in years. In Ohio, the unions prevailed, but they're still in many ways an endangered species. Do you expect to see more anti-union legislation in 2012, especially with this being an election year?
I mean, it's clear that there's a pro-business agenda coming from the Republican Party that is bent on destroying unions. For years, they kind of took aim at the public, at the private sector unions, and basically eroded a lot of their power. And now they're taking aim at the public sector unions. I'm not surprised that if there's more of this kind of legislation coming down the pipe.
Anything you've heard of? Any states we should be watching?
No, I haven't heard of anything specifically. I mean, we've had some problems in California with Governor Jerry Brown, who is actually a Democrat, around, you know, attacking public workers' pension and kind of putting the burden of the deficit of the state in the workers that actually make the wealth of the state, as opposed to like the corporations and those people who are not paying their share as far as like taxes and bringing in revenue for the state of California.
And I guess that speaks to the economic narrative that people are trying to tell. There seems to be a faction, you referred to Republicans, that like to blame one particular group, the workers, for the financial crisis we're facing. The unions are telling another story. What do you think the public believes at this point? And also, where does that fit into the Occupy movement, which is pushing forth their own narrative about the reasons for the economic problems in the country?
I think the narrative around workers, union workers specifically, being too greedy and too, like, you know, too pampered and spoiled, it's one that has been pushed for a while. And it's not just Republicans, there's also Democrats that have been pushing this agenda and kind of pushing the same idea, and trying to balance the budget on top of the workers. And I think there's like, as far as the public, I think there was some, it's hard to gauge, but there's some perception of both, like that there is level of difference, mainly because a lot of people are not in unions, so they don't have, you know, the same experience as someone who is in the union, who can, you know, has better benefits and pay, and has, you know, like actually more power in the job as far as protecting their own job and like making sure that they don't get abused. And I think that narrative is getting, I think there's some pushback now as far as, like, you know, if you see Ohio and Wisconsin, how there was a lot of popular support to keep the collective bargaining as like something that is a right for the workers to, you know, to defend their rights, to, you know, put together proposals and how to make their lives better and not just go and get the boss to just dictate the conditions of their employment completely. And I think Occupy is like changing it's tapping on something that a lot of people felt, that it wasn't about the union workers. Like, the union workers weren't the ones who were, you know, like swindling all this money from the pensions of the unions and swindling all this money from, you know, like, you know, selling all this, whatchamacallit, the derivatives and all that stuff that actually created a lot of, you know, the economic collapse that we're in right now. That wasn't the union workers. That was Wall Street and the corporations. And I think for a while, we kind of lost track of that because, you know, like there wasn't a movement actually putting that forward very strongly. The unions were trying, but their voice was kind of muted because of the environment of the country at the time. And, you know, we were just hearing that same rhetoric coming from Fox News and, like, you know, and a lot of the more conservative elements, both in the Republican and the Democratic Party, about, you know, like, the workers have to sacrifice and it's time for everybody to tighten their belts except people who, you know, are fat and have a lot of money. And I think Occupy came back to the idea that was present right during the collapse, that it was like, this is the fault of these corporations who are greedy and they are just taking, you know, advantage of people's trying to do something to better their own lives, and the corporations are going and taking advantage of that and selling people, basically trapping people into like mortgages that they can't pay, you know, in, you know, in gambling with people's pension money and doing all this stuff that basically made it so like the safety net of people has basically eroded in this country. And, you know, like people are so dependent on these corporations, and now we're talking about too big to fail because, you know, like they basically trapped the economy.
So both unions and Occupy, they do have a lot of things in common. They're both about a more equal distribution of wealth between employer, employee, between the manager or the heads of corporations and the workers. And I imagine they have a lot to learn from each other. And hopefully they are. They are working together to some degree. But I've also heard concerns that organized labor and Occupy are having some problems linking up their struggle. Could you delve into some of the issues that are being wrestled with nationally and here in the Bay Area?
I think the Occupy and the union are very different entities. I think the labor movement has been established for a long time, and it has, you know, there has a set of rules, like a rule book that it plays by. And there's reasons for that. There's reasons why, you know, like, I mean, some people might argue that there are bad reasons or good reasons, but there's reasons why labor plays by the rules that it plays. Occupy is, because of its own nature and because it's so like spontaneous and anybody can participate, and, you know, it doesn't have the same level of like inflexibility as labor has in certain aspects. It has the potential of like bringing the struggle to a different level that the unions right now don't have the capacity to do. And that's why a lot of us who are in labor are also involved in Occupy, because it allows us to work on the same issues from a different angle. As far as the contradictions and like the conflict, I think there is a level of mistrust from people from Occupy of labor, specifically around that rigidity and that lack of flexibility that labor sometimes has, and the concept and the fear that labor might try to make Occupy create, like, follow labor's agenda and not its own agenda. And those are understandable fears. And I think that there's something that can be, you know, like, there's something true to that. But at the same time, there is a lot that is, that can be learned, like, that Occupy and labor can learn from each other. And I think, an example, there's two examples of, like, specific dates in the Bay Area that kind of show the difference relationship between Occupy and labor. And the first one is November 2nd, when Occupy called for a general strike. And most of us in labor felt like it was realistically impossible to call for a general strike. Most of us are under contract, so we cannot go on strike. And that's because, you know, there's legal responsibilities that we have to follow, both regarding the workers themselves, but also the unions can get sued. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot on the line for a union to go on strike without being outside of a contract, and specifically like the union going around and telling people to go on strike over something that is not even directly related to the employer. So But a lot of us felt like that if we actually went in there and like helped out and tried to do something instead of just criticizing from the sidelines and being like, oh, this is impossible, it would actually be very, very powerful. And that's what happened on November 2nd. November 2nd was a very powerful day. I was there at 6, I left work at like 3 a.m., went straight to, I slept for an hour, and I was there at 6 a.m. just talking to people and like coming out of BART and saying like, you know, if you can't, I know you can't miss work. If you can't miss work, come after, you know, and trying to get people to participate. And it was, you know, it was a beautiful day. I was walking around and you had, you know, the Occupy people, and you had, you know, a lot of people from SEIU, the Oakland teachers, a lot of members of the LWU were there, you know, like late at night, you know, like I was walking by and the, you know, you had the firemen like grilling, and, you know, like it was like a very kind of labor and Occupy together created that day as powerful as it was. And I think as far as the contradictions, we can talk about the port shutdowns. And I think especially being from the LWU, there was a lot of tension between the LWU and Occupy on that.
You're talking about the West Coast port shutdown on December 12th.
Yes, December 12th. And there was a lot of tension between Occupy and the LWU around that, mainly because there was a feeling from the LWU side that, like, this is our, like, this is our struggle. And, like, we can't have, it's hard to have people, sorry, let me rephrase this. It is hard for us to see legitimacy on people forcing us to be radical. And as much as I understand the reasons why Occupy called for the port shutdown, and I understand that, you know, like a lot of people went there because they truly wanted to help the LWU in the fight at in Longview against EGT, and also the truckers in LA against Goldman Sachs, there was also this feeling from the LWU that there was no communication. Nobody talked to us about this. And it's hard. How you expect us to go and talk to our workers? And like, you know, like we have a process around voting and how we go about taking action. And if there is no communication, you know, like you can't expect that we're going to endorse and support this if there has been no communication with us prior to this. And I think that the relationship kind of got a little sour because a lot of people in the LWU are basically like, you know, Occupy is going, you know, rogue. And a lot of people in Occupy are saying like, oh, the LWU is just a bunch of pie carts that don't really want to do anything. They're just, you know, concerned about keeping labor peace, but they don't want to actually confront the boss. And I think the truth is in neither side, you know, like I think the truth is a little bit more vague than that, and more elusive than that is, because I think a lot of people, I mean, myself, like I was there on November 2nd on the port, like I was walking around and, you know, like being in front of the gates, and I felt like that was a very powerful, and there wasn't a communication with the LWU about that specifically, but there was a feeling that that the moment called for it, right? And because specifically based, there was a lot of momentum around that action because it was like a week after the camp had been raided by the Oakland police, and Scott Olson got, you know, a canister of gas in his head, and at that point he was in the hospital and people didn't know if he was going to survive. So there was a lot of you know, a lot of momentum and a lot of like solidarity being built out of that. And I think at this point there needs to be some kind of bridge building between labor and Occupy. And not all unions are going to participate, and not like every member of Occupy is actually going to be supportive of union struggles. But I think there's a place where we can both work together without actually like rubbing each other in the wrong way.
Pedro de Sa is a member of ILWU Local 6 here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Pedro, thanks so much for speaking with us.
No problem.